I once had a church member who lost his job. And after he had been off the job for a while, I decided I need to get connected with him, so invited him to lunch. And as soon as we sat down, I could see that he was angry. I could sense the anger just sort of bubbling up underneath his skin. And then after we had been talking for a while, it just suddenly just all came out. He said, "You spend your life going to church, being an active member of the church, trying to do the right thing with your life. And what did it get me? 7 months of unemployment. I can't find a job. It's just not fair." Well, I realized that in his state at that moment, there was really nothing I could say except to say, "You're right, it's not fair. I'm really sorry." Life isn't fair. Recently, we moved UK students' worldly belongings into our spare bedroom while she was awaiting her new apartment to be available. This young lady has been befriended by my daughter-in-law in Louisville, who met her on a school function while she was in high school, and came to realize that this young lady in high school was really homeless. She was bouncing from one friend to her sister's house, just, you know, never knew quite where she'd be spending the night. And so my daughter-in-law really befriended her, became sort of a big sister to her, and has helped her in so many ways. And when I have thought about this young lady and been with her, I thought to myself, it's not fair. I think about the support that my wife and I have given to our own children, and I think about the lack of support she has received from her family. It's not fair. She deserves better. You know, I think there's something within us that has this expectation that life should be fair, especially for people of faith. My friend that I spoke about earlier felt like God owed him a job. And we may feel like God owes us something too. Maybe we believe God owes us healing of our diseases. Maybe we believe God owes us financial security. Maybe we feel like God owes us what that other person has, especially that person who isn't Christian, who isn't kind, who is self-centered, who bullies other people, who is dishonest. We need to have at least what they have, or it's just not fair. The writer of Psalm 73 had that expectation that life should be fair, and especially for those who worship God. He begins the psalm with these words, "Truly God is good to the upright, for those who are pure in heart." I think there's a sense amongst people of faith that we have earned God's favor, God's blessings, because we have been faithful. Though the psalmist believed that God would give him what he wanted because he was righteous, His life didn't seem to work out the way he expected. He said he had stumbled, he had nearly fallen on his face, and yet he observed the wicked and saw how they prospered. He saw how they did violence against others, and it just brought them more money and power. While they should be punished for what they do, they seem to be rewarded. And so the psalmist was saying, why, God? This isn't fair. This isn't the way it should be. People don't get the punishment they deserve, and the people who are deserving get left out. The realization of life's inequities and injustice can lead to a crisis of faith. It certainly did for my friend who lost his job. And he decided that because God hadn't gotten him a new job, that he would just withdraw from God and the church. Because he felt like he'd been faithful to God, but God was not faithful to him. The psalmist struggled in the same way. He questioned the value of righteous living and the very relevance of God. He wrote, "All in vain I have kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long, I've been plagued and am punished every morning." You know, he was saying, what gives, God? I've done my part being a good and faithful person. But you haven't done your part for me. I deserve better. Have you ever been there? Felt like God had abandoned you. Felt like you deserved better from God. Bad things happen to good people. And good things happen to bad people. Jesus said that God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. You know, a man can plant seeds in the ground, and those seeds, if they get enough rain and sunshine, they're going to grow. There's going to be a harvest. And it doesn't matter if the man is an evil, spiteful, greedy, immoral man. The seed will still grow. God's grace is woven into the fabric of creation. God's blessings are not earned, they are gifts from a gracious God. We can rail against how unfair that is, but that won't change it. It isn't fair, but it is the reality that we must come to accept. As my son's babysitter used to tell him, life isn't fair. Some people are born into poverty and some into wealth. Some people have good health and some have poor health. Some people have great parents and others have miserable parents or no parents at all. Some people have tremendous opportunities in their lives to flourish, to grow, to succeed, while other people don't have opportunities like that at all and are continually knocked down. Some people have all the breaks and others, well, as the saying goes, if it weren't for bad luck, they'd have no luck at all. It's not fair. It's just not fair. But every person has to decide how they will respond to those inequities in their lives. Some people, when rocked by hardships, blame God for not being fair, and they withdraw themselves from God and from His church because God didn't give them what they felt like they deserved or felt like they had earned. But the writer of Psalms did the very opposite. He decided in this one of those come to Jesus moments, just like the prodigal son. And it dawned on him that if he remained in his bitterness and self-pity, it was just going to make his life miserable. Nothing good would come of living in that place of self-pity and bitterness. So in spite of his disappointment in God at that moment, he went to his religious community, his family of faith. And indeed, your family of faith will be there for you in your times of struggle and discouragement. And that's what he did. And they helped him. He went to the sanctuary, to the temple for worship. And in his time there, God reached him. God spoke to him. God gave him a fresh insight into life and into the very nature of God. And it changed his thinking. It changed his attitude. It changed the trajectory of his life. Because he listened to God in the midst of the family of faith. Have you ever come to worship caught up in your troubles and heard God's word in Scripture, heard God's word through a sermon, heard God speak to you through a song or in the silence of communion with bread and wine? God whispered in your heart and gave you hope, brought you peace. When we struggle with God, we shouldn't run away from God and the church. We need to come back to God and to the family of faith. And there we will find our strength and our help. The psalmist went to the temple and he realized that day that those he thought were doing so well, those who were wicked and unkind and violent and greedy, that though they seemed to be prospering at the moment, their day would come. The day of reckoning would come. And they would have to account for themselves and their lives before God. The psalmist made a commitment in worship that day. A commitment that he would always, always pursue God. Even in the hard times. Even when he felt alone and abandoned. He would always pursue God. And he wrote, "I am continually with you. You hold my right hand, and afterward you receive me with honor." In making that commitment to God, the author came to see that God had not forsaken him, but that God was indeed holding his right hand and would receive him with honor. And that was all he needed. That was everything. My daughter Lindsay called me last weekend And she lives in Florida, and she said, "Daddy, I'm going to give Mom the best birthday present I can give her. Me." And so yesterday she drove all the way from Tampa to Lexington to be with her mom on her birthday today. Well, I knew that Lindsay's gift of herself was indeed the best gift her mother could ever hope for. And indeed, she told her this morning, "This was the best birthday gift I've ever had." And even if Lindsay had unlimited means and could have bought her mom a Lexus, Candy loves those Lexus, or she could buy her that big diamond ring that she never got from me, or she could buy her a ticket to travel around the world, if she could give Candy anything her heart desired, it could never compare to giving her mother her presence, her being with her on this day. And in a sense, you see, that is what the psalmist came to realize. Even though he didn't have the abundance of possessions like the sinful, wealthy people that he observed, or the privileges of those corrupt, powerful people, and even though the wicked and immoral people seemed to prosper, what he did have was God who held his hand, God who was near him, and that was sufficient. It's been my practice since early in my ministry of reading the Psalms every morning, or most every morning. And so I have read those Psalms, you know, hundreds of times. But it wasn't until a year or two ago that verses 25 and 26 in Psalm 73 just jumped out at me as though I'd never seen them before. Those verses from the psalmist expressed a culmination of his faith journey from a naive faith to doubt to a much deeper faith in God, a stronger relationship with him. And this affirmation of faith expresses his recognition that that relationship with God is really what he needs. It's not all that other stuff he was seeing other people had. What he really needed was that relationship with God. And so he wrote, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire other than you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." That affirmation has become my daily affirmation each morning during my time of devotion. It reminds me that God is near and that God is more important than anything else I may be thinking about or stressing about at that moment. That God is with me. And because God is with me, his strength that the psalmist talks about is present with me when my strength fails. At the Abbey of Gethsemane, the dormitory for the monks has two words carved in the stone above the doorway. They read, "God alone." That's the message that the psalmist discovered in the sanctuary. What he needed was God alone. God was near to him, and God is near to you. God has everything our hearts truly want and need. He holds our hands, and he is everything. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire other than you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Praise be to God. Amen.